ABC Radio Australia.
Fiji's COVID-19 outbreak continues to grow, with health authorities announcing 89 new cases overnight. The figure is down from the record 105 infections announced on Sunday. But in his daily briefing, the Permanent Health Secretary, Dr. James Fong, predicted case numbers will rise and the daily record will be broken once again. It all means the coronavirus will in fact be a fact of life in Fiji for some time to come, and government agencies, businesses and community groups are taking steps to live with it. Among them is the Fiji Football Association, which has confirmed that all players, men and women, will have to be vaccinated against COVID-19 if they want to take part in their respective national leagues when competition resumes. As Richard Hewitt reports, the FA has stepped in to provide food and supplies for full-time players and their families who are struggling as the coronavirus outbreak continues to get worse.
Times are hard for many people in Fiji right now, and for those who make their living out of playing soccer, COVID-19 has brought their lives to a standstill. But the president of the Fiji Football Association, Rajesh Patel, says they are a family and doing everything they can right now to help those family members who are in need.
An average of about 20 to 25 players per club. We've got 22, 23 district associations, and they're being helped. And it's not only men, both men and women who are helping now.
So by the sound of it, then, the majority of players who would far rather be playing football in the local competitions are doing it pretty tough at the moment.
Well, yeah, some are totally dependent on football is an income for them, and the district associations have got under them. But we as a parent body, we have to make sure that in difficult times we do our corporate responsibility and social responsibility program together with it. Before, we had previously done for the hurricanes and cyclones, and this is a foundation that I've started. It's Football for Hope, and for future generations and future whoever president comes in, this Football for Hope will be there, and it will be like a charitable organisation for the football players.
And when it comes to the relief effort, Mr. Patel says soccer's regional and world ruling bodies have also had a role to play.
It is from our Fiji FA coffers that we have saved, and also from FIFA and Oceania. Certain restrictions have been lifted off so we can help the football family and the football players, and that's how we are funding it. It's about $160,000 that we will be giving in the second phase of food rations, and so that's what we're looking at.
Right now, no one knows when Fiji's national soccer competitions will resume, but in Papua New Guinea, their new NSL season is on track for a July 17th kickoff. And acting competitions director for the PNGFA, Rosie Suai, says there's a chance now that more clubs will be involved than they were planning for.
The number of teams that have shown interest is more than 10. So teams that have paid the expression of interest fee, I have already put them through to the top management and the NSL steering committee. I told them I need some answer before the 17th, because the teams will have to know whether they are participating.
Is there a possibility then that the competition could even be bigger than 10?
If the NSL steering committee, as well as the PNGFA top management, wants that to happen, then they will allow that.
The level of interest is remarkable when you consider that matches will be centralised in Port Moresby and Lae. That means teams from outside the two main cities have to be prepared to set up a temporary base if they want to play.
We have teams that have shown expression of interest from Sipik, from Wewek, from Deng, also Tabu Bil, but I understand Tabu Bil has come down to Port Moresby, so the Sipik Medeng one have to be based in Lae, which is closer to the provinces. If they are going to be participating, they will have to be based in Lae, because the games will only be played in Port Moresby and Lae.
But before a ball is kicked in PNG or in Fiji, players are being told they must get vaccinated or they won't be allowed to compete.
It's not only themselves they have to make the choice, but if they want to play in the competitions, we have to protect other lives as well. As a responsible citizen, we have to make sure that the sports stay free of COVID and we can return back to normal as soon as possible. Right now, we don't know what the sports commission is going to make a decision, how they will bring it about the reopening of the sporting events and everything. So this is something we have to preempt and make sure when they do open it, we are ready with the players, and it's safety for everyone.
In PNG too, that will also apply. So as it is now, once I know which team are participating, they will then be told that these are the requirements that the Office of the Deputy Controller has come back to soccer with. They have to comply with those restrictions, get vaccinated and all that.
So there is no choice in the matter. If a player wants to play, they have to be vaccinated.
At the moment, they have to be vaccinated, just like rugby league did. So all the sports have been advised that the competition can continue. They have to be vaccinated, yes. And I think the officials as well, plus us, the staff of PNG Soccer.
So what's been the reaction from players to being told that COVID-19 vaccination is compulsory for them? So far, Rajesh Patel says no one has lodged a formal objection.
They haven't complained to us anything yet, and most players are happy to go with it because they know it's for the safety of their family and also others too.
So each player, presumably when they return to their clubs as and when the competitions resume, they will have to have some proof of being vaccinated before they can play again.
That's right. The certificate they give, if you've got your first dose, they give you, so when you'll come and get the second dose. And once the second dose happens, there's another date and stamp there that you have taken both the jabs. And this is something that they'll have to show us.
And would they be able to play, depending on the timing of the competition coming back, having had the first vaccination but not the second? Because clearly there is a bit of a time lag between the two.
Yeah, they can play after the first jab.
In PNG, Rosie Suai says once the lineup for the NSL has been finalised, there will be rules put in place to ensure that no unvaccinated player takes to the field.
We'll be arranging that with the respective team managers, and we'll also work together with the Office of the Deputy Controller.
And at this stage, there's nothing to suggest that the season won't start on time. The Rugby League season is up and running now after, I think, a three-week delay, so that would tend to look good for soccer.
Yes, yes. It looks good for soccer because due to what Rugby League was experiencing, all other sports know what we have to go through in terms of COVID-19 protocols, the new normal.
Rosie Suai, the PNGFA Acting Competitions Director, ending that report from Richard Ewart. What do you make of these expectations for COVID-19 vaccinations to be required? Is it potentially even legal? There are some big questions to answer, and we're going to try and do that in our Talanoa Tuesday session in the next hour. We're joined by John Apted, a Fiji-based constitutional lawyer, and Dr. Colin Tukuitonga, a Pacific public health expert. If you have any questions or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a message on our ABC Radio Australia Facebook page and we can put your questions to them.